Welcome to the Bayshore Podcast. As listeners each week, whether through iTunes or through the church app, you're part of our church family. We would love for you to share stories of how Bayshore is impacting your life by sending us an email at amen@bayshorecc.org. As always, you can find all kinds of information and content on our website, bayshorecc.org. There's also our church app, which you could download by going to bayshorecc.org/app. So thanks again for joining us this week, and we hope that today's message is a blessing to you.
What's up, 10:30? Woo! Hey, how you guys doing? Listen, I got a question. Is anybody thankful that you're sitting in air conditioning right now? Anybody at all? Woo! My goodness, it's so hot out there. I told you guys a few weekends ago that the only thing hotter than that weekend was my wife. And that was true. And that will always be true. My wife is always the hottest. But I wanted to add to that, all right? The only thing hotter than this weekend is my wife and the band, okay? Like, didn't this band do an amazing job? I love our band. Hey, guys, I'm so glad to be back. I got 2 weeks off. 1 week was at another church I got to speak at, and then I was on a staycation last weekend. But I'm so psyched to be back with you guys, which, by the way, didn't Cotter do an amazing job the last 2 weekends? I mean, my goodness. It's awesome, man. I mean, he preached like fire, man. It was so good. And listen, if you're bummed that Cotter isn't speaking again today, me too. And I'm the pastor, so like, I mean, he did an amazing job. I'm so thankful for Cotter. I'm so thankful for his leadership with the Next Steps class yesterday, where we had 11 people go through that on a Saturday in July. So can we just give it up for them one time? So thank you for you guys who went through that class. And hey, if this is your first time here, or if you happen to be joining us in our online family at any of these places right here, my name is Joel and I'm the campus pastor here. And we're pumped that you're here. And our goal for you is simple. All right, we want you to feel like you're at home. And so welcome home if you're new here. Welcome home if you're joining us online. And we want you to feel at home, whether you're new in the room, whether you're in the room, or whether you're watching from your mama's couch somewhere online. Like, we want you to feel at home. And so can we just make our first-time guests and our online family feel at home? Just get rowdy one more time, okay? Come on. Thank you, guys. Yeah. I just successfully got you guys to clap like 17 times in a period of 3 minutes. Pretty proud of that. Anyway, hey, we're starting a new series today called God Never Said That, and I want to start out with a story. And to start out the story, how many of you have ever moved before? You moved somewhere, you moved anywhere, you have done some moving. Okay, that's a lot of you. Not everybody raise your hand, and if you didn't raise your hand, that's okay, but you just admitted to the entire church that you still live at home with your parents. And listen, that's cool if you. I am not here to judge you if you live at home with your parents, because I am moving back in with my parents. It's true. Because me and my wife, Stacy, just sold our house. Woo! And so while our next house is being built, Mom and Dad, if you're watching this, your 36-year-old son is coming home. Except this time, I'm bringing my wife, Stacy, two kids under six, and a dog that weighs 7 pounds. Like, so pray for us all. So we're going to move back in with my parents while our house is being built. But when we were selling our house, I don't know if you've sold a house before, but you have to keep it clean all the time, which is difficult under normal circumstances. It's even more difficult when you have two kids under the age of 6 years old and you have a 7-pound chihuahua named Eli. And so these are the conditions we're trying to like keep our house clean under. And maybe for you, it would be easy to keep your house clean with two small kids. Maybe you have clean kids. Who's got clean kids? Oh, no. Okay, good. That makes me feel better. Listen, my kids are not clean kids, especially my boy Nixon. Like a few weeks ago, he spilled an entire box of macaroni noodles off the counter and it went all over our kitchen floor, everywhere. And you might be like, well, why did he spill it? I don't know. It's just like what he did on Tuesday. That's just his Tuesday thing. I don't know. And I saw all these macaroni noodles. I just walked out in the garage. I'm like, I can't handle. I don't even know where all they went. They went. It's like everywhere. And so these are the conditions that I'm trying to keep the house clean under. And my wife, Stacy, is an amazing wife, amazing part of her family. And she leaves for work first in the mornings. And so she's out the house by like 6:10, 6:15. Yeah. And so while our house was selling, my job was to keep the house clean every morning and then to get our kids ready to go to daycare. And so, like, I'm, like, running around every morning, you know, cleaning up, making their beds. I'm, like, cleaning up macaroni noodles on the floor. I'm flushing toilets. Because if my kids ever gone to the bathroom in the toilet and actually flushed the toilet, never once, okay, not once, okay? And so I'm, like, flushing, I'm doing all this stuff, and it gets, like, tiring doing all this stuff. And so one night, because we had to keep the house clean in case somebody were going to walk through it that day, so that's why I'm cleaning it every morning. And so one night, my kids said to me, they're like, Daddy, can we sleep on the floor tonight and not sleep in our beds? And I had this thought. Like, if they're not in their beds stay perfectly made. I don't have to make them in the morning. This sounds like a good idea. And so I'm like, kids, that's a great idea. Absolutely. You can sleep in your on the floor tonight and every night if you'd like to. It'll be like an adventure. And they're like, Dad, you're the greatest. I'm like, no, kids, you are the greatest. This is a great idea. And so while we were selling our house, they were sleeping on the floor every night, and so their beds stayed perfectly made, and it was great until we took them to their pediatrician appointment one day, and their pediatrician, who's amazing, she started asking all these questions. And she was asking Nixon, she was like, Nixon, do you have a dog? And he's like, yeah. And then she said, do you go to daycare? And he's like, yeah. And she said, does your mommy and daddy have a bed for you? And he's like, yeah, but daddy won't let us sleep in it. He makes us sleep on the floor. I'm like dying. I imagine like Cape Gazette's news headline the next day, like local pastor in prison, where at least he has a mattress, unlike he gave his children. And so I'm dying, and I'm like, no. Like they have a bed and they can sleep in it, but they're sleeping on the floor because we're selling our house and it's an adventure thing. I don't know. This sounds weird. I don't know. And I'm like, but I never said that. And Nixon, for whatever reason, really believed that I was like, oh, you want to pour macaroni noodles on my floor? Then you will sleep forever on the floor. But I never said that. And has anyone ever been convinced that you said something that you didn't say? Has that ever happened to anybody? Every married couple in the room is like, I have been waiting my whole life, Pastor. Like, give me the mic. I need to share my truth. But isn't it true that sometimes people believe that you said something that you haven't said? And that happens to us all the time. And I think sometimes we can do the same thing with God. Well, we believe that God said something and we are convinced, but when we look in here, God never said that. And so in this series, each week we're going to look at one thing that God didn't say. And the one thing that we're going to talk about today that God didn't say is this. Are you guys ready for it? You ready? God never said, I want you to be happy. Like my main goal for you, Matt Barth, and Tim Tice, my brother, all right, and Robbie and Butch, my main goal for you guys is happiness. Come on now, like God never said that his main goal for us is happiness. So turn to the person next to you and say, well, what about the gospel of Pharrell? Guys, it would be so great if I could stand up here and say, guys, I have the greatest news in the world for you. This is so good. Sit on the edge of your seat because God's main goal for you, his number one goal for you is your happiness. And so he wants you to drive the best cars, a Honda. Don't laugh. That's real. God wants you to go on the best vacations. Guys, we're going to Tahiti. God wants you to do whatever it is that makes you feel happy. And so give me an air high five. Come on, air high five. Boom. Because our Instagram post just got so much better. I wish I could say that to you guys. I could even make this sound like God said, my number one goal for you is happiness. All right, so let's look at half of a verse. All right, Psalm 97, verse 12. It says this, may all who are godly, now with a smile on your face, help me with this last part, may all who are godly be happy. This is one of those verses that comes with a soundtrack. You ever seen a verse that comes with a soundtrack? Okay, go ahead and hit it, Eddie. This is a soundtrack that comes with this verse. Come on. I need some dance moves. Give it. Yeah. All right, we're gonna cut the grass. Start the lawnmower, guys. Come on. Wait, you got to cut the grass. Cut the grass. Water the grass. Come on. There it is. There you go, Amy. All right. You can't unsee any of that right there. only like 7 of you guys dance with me. I'm a little disappointed about that. But it's so easy to believe, and more importantly, to live like, when we like look at verses like this and take them out of context, it's so easy to believe that God said, my number one goal for you is your happiness. And what happens when we live like that is we start to live by a life motto. And let me show you what the life motto is when we believe this, okay? It's this. If it makes me happy, it must be right. And if it makes me unhappy, oh, that's wrong. If it makes you happy, it must be right. Is anybody else thinking of a Sheryl Crow song right now? If it makes you happy, it can't be that bad. If it makes you happy, we can't sing the rest of that, all right? Like, we're in church. But when we live by the gospel of happiness, we think, well, if it makes me happy, it must be right. If it makes me unhappy, it must be wrong, which means anything that's hard, anything that's difficult, anything that we just don't plain like, well, that can't be God's will, because God said my number one goal for you is happiness. And so if there's anything in your life that's unhappy, then guess whose fault that must be? God's. And that's the problem with the gospel of happiness, because when we live like that, we believe that God exists to serve us. And here's the thing. God does not exist to serve us. We exist to serve him. Well, let me say that again. God doesn't exist to serve us. We exist to serve him. Okay, that is how it goes. And so God is not our celestial sugar daddy. God is not our cosmic Coke machine, you know, where you put the money in and then you press the button for whatever it is that you want, which is a glorious Mountain Dew. And so that Mountain Dew comes out and you did your job. You put the money in. And so now the machine's job is just to give you what you want. And sometimes we live like that. We're like, well, I went to church, Pastor Joel. It's 101 degrees outside today. I still went to church. I gave some money today. I'm even paying attention to this message because you did the lawnmower on the stage. And so I'm like, so I did my part. And so now God, he's supposed to do his part. So I'm going to press some buttons for what I want in life. Okay. So I want to like a smoking hot girlfriend. I'll press that button. I'll press the button for, I want a 6-figure salary. Anybody want to press that button? Come on, press that button. And I don't really care for seasonal allergies. So I'm going to press the button to get rid of that right there. And out it pops. Okay. No. Okay, it doesn't work that way because God doesn't exist to serve us. We exist to serve him. God doesn't exist to serve us. We exist to serve him. Now, are you ready for the most untweetable line of the day? Ready? All right, here it is. God's number one goal for you is not happiness. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Oh, now that we're all depressed, I'm going to say a prayer, and we can all leave unhappy and never sing Pharrell again. Does that sound good? No, let me kind of flip this, okay? Because, of course, God loves to see his kids, i.e. you and me, if we're Jesus followers, he loves to see us happy. Okay, even Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. How many parents you love to see your kids happy? Yeah, that's every parent, okay, except when they spill macaroni noodles all over the floor. And so I know for me, I love to see my kids happy. So we just had a staycation. And last Wednesday, we did boardwalk night. And so we went down to the boardwalk. And speaking of happiness, I got my family an entire bucket of large Thrasher's French fries. Come on, somebody. So good. And I found out that my kids don't really care for Thrasher's French fries because they didn't eat hardly any of them because they're sinful little buggers, those kids, okay? But no lie, I ended up eating more than half of a large bucket of Thrasher's French fries. Glory. I was happy. All right, this is good. So anyway, my kids didn't want Thrasher's. They only wanted 3 things that night. They wanted Funland, they wanted cotton candy, and they wanted to know why the guy on the bench next to us was allowed to feed his French fries to the seagulls because, Daddy, you told us we weren't allowed to do that. And I was like, kids, that's because you're from Delaware. And that man's from Pennsylvania. I'm kidding. I just offended like a quarter of the room right then. I'm sure he wasn't from Pennsylvania. It was probably New York or something. So if you're new here, this is all in fun. I love y'all, all right? But this guy fed French fries to the seagulls. There was like it was like the movie Birds. I mean, there's like birds everywhere. And so we left to go to Funland to get away from the killer birds. And so when we went into Funland, Nixon wanted to ride the drop ride. Like the, I don't know what it's called. Let's call it the Tower of Terror. He wanted to ride the Tower of Terror. And so Stacy decided to get on the ride with Nora and Nixon, our kids. And I was camera dad. So I was like standing in the front row and I'm like pushing everybody else away. I'm like, okay, give me your best shot. Nixon over here, man. I'm like, I'm no better than Seagull guy. I'm just photo dad. And I got my favorite picture of my family on staycation while they're on this drop ride. So go ahead and take a look at this right here. Isn't that the best picture in the world? Like, who needs a professional photographer when you got picture dad with his iPhone, like pushing everybody away? Also, Stacy is clearly the happiest person in the picture. Not our 4-year-old, not our 5-year-old, Stacy. I love that. But I love this picture. It's probably my favorite picture on my phone right now. And I love it because my kids are smiling. I love to see them happy. But my number one goal for my kids is not their happiness. Okay, just go with me for a second. So imagine directly after this picture, Nixon did not want to get off the Tower of Terror ride, and he threw a Funland fit. Now, if you have young kids, I know this is hard to imagine, but just work with me, okay? Well, let's say he throws a Funland fit, and in his unhappiness, he decides what will make him happy is to punch his sister in the nose. And let's say he does that. Am I going to be like, Nixon, I am so happy that you are happy and you did what made you feel happy in that moment. Give me a high five. Am I going to do that? No, I'm going to be like, Nix, you and I are about to ride the nightmare machine, mission, the nightmare house or whatever that is. Because Tyson's, we don't act that way. And the point is this, my number one goal for him isn't his happiness, it's his character. His character matters more to me than his happiness. Parents, does this make sense? And so here's the thing. God, his number one goal for you is not happiness, but he does love to see you be happy. You're his kids. But more than anything, your character matters more to him than your happiness. That's why I believe all day long that Jesus doesn't want us to chase happiness. He wants us to chase holiness. He doesn't want us to chase happiness. He wants us to chase holiness. Now, what's the difference? Happiness says, I'm going to do whatever I feel like that makes me happy. Holiness says, I'm going to do what God says is right. Well, let me say that again. Happiness says, I'm going to do whatever feels right and makes me happy at the time. God says, holiness says, I want to do whatever God says is right. It's a big difference there. And so God doesn't want us to chase what we feel. He doesn't always want us to chase what we want. He wants us to chase what he wants. Why? Because God doesn't exist to serve us. We exist to serve him. But you know what's crazy about that? What's crazy about that is when we chase holiness, it happens to lead to a lot more happiness in life. Like if you have a married couple and both of them are chasing holiness in the marriage instead of chasing their own happiness, if they're chasing holiness instead, are they going to be happier? Yeah. If you have somebody who their entire life, they're chasing holiness instead of chasing an addiction, are they going to be happier? Yeah. If you have two people driving down Route 24 and they're chasing holiness instead of each other because, hey, you drive like an idiot. This is a personal example from my ride into work today. But if they're chasing holiness instead of chasing road rage, okay, are they going to be happier if they have more peace in their life? Yeah. No. In the moment, maybe not, Butch. I don't know. We'll pray for you, man. But guys, God's number one goal for us is not happiness. It's holiness, which happens to lead to a lot more happiness a lot of times in our life. And so what I want to do is give you two times that God doesn't want you to be happy. Okay, two times, if you're taking notes, two times God doesn't want you to be happy. The first time is this. God doesn't want you to be happy when it causes you to do something wrong or unwise. Wrong or unwise. So me and my wife, Stacy, are two totally different food orders. Like when we go to a restaurant, I can figure out what I'm going to order in 3 seconds. That's because I have 5 things that I eat and that's like it. Okay, so I just find the first thing out of the 5 that's on my list that's on the menu and I'm like, oh, I got that. Stacy, on the other hand, it's a very emotional and drawn out process. She wants to know what the server's name is. She wants to know what the server ate for dinner 2 weeks ago. She wants to know what the server thinks she would like to eat that night. And she wants to know the name of the server's dog, okay? Like, this is like a whole thing. And only after all that will she decide, based on how she's feeling after gathering all that information, what she wants to order. And that's when the waiter says, what side would you like with that, ma'am? And then we begin the process all over again. Who here is a feelings-based food order? You just go with how you feel. Come on, come on. Don't leave Stacey hanging. Come on, be honest. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of you. You're why food service is slow, okay? So a few years ago, we were in Ocean City, and we went to, on our way home from the beach, we stopped by Burger King. And Stacy, the cashier at Burger King that day was a pro. And he upsold Stacy probably the most expensive Whopper sandwich in the history of Burger King. And here's what happened. I was standing right behind her, okay? The guy up there, he said, okay, or Stacy rather, she started. She said, I'll take a Whopper Jr. And he said, would you like to make that a full-size Whopper, ma'am? It's so much better. And she's like, it's better? Yes, I think I would. Let's make that a Whopper, sir. And then he said, would you like to put jalapenos on that? And she's like, jalapenos at Burger King? Yes, I would like to put that on that Whopper. And then he's like, would you like to put onion rings on top of those jalapenos? And she's like, you know me, man. Like, yes. And then he's like, would you like to put bacon on top of this mountain of other stuff you already put on there? And she's like, yes, I feel that bacon. And I'm behind her with like my Dave Ramsey calculator. And I'm like, I'm gonna need a second job. And finally, he was like, ma'am, that'll be $12 for your Whopper sandwich. And Stacy looked back at me and she's like, oh my gosh, $12. And she's like, how'd that happen? I'm like, baby, you just took the phrase, have it your way, to a whole different level. Like, you had it your way, okay? Like, and anyway, the point is, like, she went with what she felt. It would make her happy in the moment. And at the end, she's like, $12? Oh my gosh, that cost me a lot more than I thought. And that's how life is sometimes. We have all these moments where it's like, hey, would you like to buy whatever you would like in this store right now? Would you like to say whatever you feel like saying to your boss right now? Would you like to watch and listen to whatever you want to in the car? Would you like to do whatever it is that makes you feel happy? And we're like, yes, I would. That's going to make me happy. And it might for a little while, but chasing happiness eventually catches up to us. And we're like, oh my gosh, that cost me more than I thought. And it's like this verse, Proverbs 14, verse 12. It says this. We'll throw it on the screen. It says, there's a way that appears to be right. And so, like, if it appears to be right, well, let's just have it our way. Why wouldn't we have it our way? Burger King way. Come on now. Why wouldn't we? Because in the end, it leads to what? Yeah. It leads to death. And have you ever thought, like, about something like, I'm right about this. I know it. I feel it. Okay? It must be right. I'm going to have it my way because Sheryl Crow said, if it makes you happy, it must be right. But then you were wrong. Has that ever happened to anybody? And that happens sometimes in life. Like, our way may seem right, your way may feel right, but did you know your way may seem right and feel right and still be wrong? Did you know your way may seem right and feel right and it still costs you more than you want to pay? And that is what life is like. Because, and the reason we go after what we feel is because our way is happiness, but God's way is holiness. And so what's that mean? It means in our marriages, like, we don't walk out just because, well, I'm not happy, so I'm going to walk out. Hey, you guys, I've done a lot of wedding ceremonies. You guys remember the part in the vows where you say, for better or for happier? For richer or for happiest? You remember that line? No, because we say, for better or what? Worse. Worse. Okay, happiness isn't part of the vows because this isn't about happiness. We're talking about holiness here. And maybe for you, you know, what will make you so happy is to go in and tell your boss tomorrow morning exactly how you feel about him and his mother. And it would make you feel so good at the time, and then you lose your job. But when you do that, are you chasing happiness or holiness? Happiness. And sometimes we're like, well, I'm going to just buy whatever I feel in this store. I even have to put it on credit because, yeah, it's going to make me happy. Or, of course, I'm sleeping with my boyfriend or girlfriend, Pastor Joel. It's 2019, you know? Or it gets quiet when we talk about stuff like that. But, yeah, I'm going to watch what I want on Netflix because I'm a grown person. But are we chasing happiness or are we chasing holiness? happiness a lot of times. It could look like this. Nobody in this room would do this. Nobody I know would do this. But let's say directly after church today, you go up into the parking lot and you get in your car and you turn on Spotify and you're listening to your favorite station on Spotify and your favorite song comes on in the church parking lot. And you know, it sounds like this, like, pooch, pooch. And then they start singing, you know, in the song. And you know how the song lyrics go. It's like, beep, 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 beep. These are cuss words that I'm bleeping out, okay? Beep, beep. It's like Morse code. And you haven't even left the church parking lot. Like, you know, maybe you're driving out there like, hey, brother, it's a good message today. Beep, 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 beep. And listen, you can do that when you leave the church parking lot today if you want, but I want you to imagine that I'm sitting in the passenger seat next to you, leaning over, doing my little lawnmower dance, saying, is this making you happy? But the point is, okay, are we chasing happiness or holiness? And God doesn't want us to be happy when it causes us to do something wrong or unwise. And so don't have it your way, because our way may seem right, but could lead to death. But have it whose way? God's way. Which is chasing holiness. Does that make sense? And so that's the first one of the two. The second one is this. God doesn't want you to be happy when it's only based on the things of this world. When it's only based on the things of this world. So it was Amazon Prime Day this week. Come on, somebody say amen or hallelujah or something. Look, who loves Amazon? Oh my goodness. I thought we'd collaborate. Listen, I love Amazon so much. You remember like when we used to have to go into stores to buy things? If you're like a teenager, like a young teenager, you have no idea the things that we used to have to go through in life. Like we had in stores to buy things. Anyway, so Amazon Prime Day was this week, and on Facebook, on my Facebook feed, it kept on sending me all these targeted Amazon ads for what they thought I needed in my life to be happy. And three things just kept on popping up. The first thing was a grooming kit, and I'm like, Amazon, clearly, no, not necessary. The second thing that kept on popping up was a video doorbell system. And I was like, Amazon, you know I'm like homeless living with my parents right now. Like, you don't have to rub it in with a doorbell. I don't even have a door, Amazon. And it kept on showing me baby clothes. And I'm like, oh my goodness, is Stacy pregnant? She's not, that we know of. And so, but these are all the things that Amazon kept on sending me because they thought that's what I needed in my life. And did you know that our culture has all these things that they're trying to sell you that you need for your happiness? I call it the happiness formula. If you want to know sort of the marketing formula for how like our culture tries to get you, here it is. Here's the happiness formula that it tries to sell you. We'll put it on the screen. Nice things, plus the perfect experience or appearance, plus thrilling experiences on the drop ride in Funland, the right relationships, plus perfect circumstances equal happiness. Also known as an Instagram post, right there. That's what that is. Now, I'm curious, who here has a perfect life because you are 5 for 5? You got it all, baby. You are living your best life. You got all this at the same time. Nobody? See, that's the problem with the happiness formula. You can chase this all day long, and you won't get this because this is based on happenings, and happenings in our life change constantly. Like, for instance, maybe you have nice things today. I mean, the economy's pretty good, right? But who remembers 2008? Things changed, right? How many of you remember when you had a perfect appearance? Me neither. But maybe you do, and that was when you were 17 years old. But then you change. Okay, I don't know if you know this, but there was this like the face app thing that went on like Facebook all week long where it showed you old. Okay, that's not an app. That's real life, you guys. It's like this. And so our appearance changes, right? Here's something else that changes, like thrilling experiences. I have thrilling experiences sometimes. Whenever Stacy's driving in the minivan, it is thrilling. But when I drive, things just get boring. Like it's like the speed limit. I don't know. Like it's just, and so it changes. And here's the point. That sounded a lot more. You guys like didn't react. It makes it sound serious. Like I was just kidding. This is a joke. I mean, it is thrilling, but I enjoy thrilling experiences. So the point is, we never have all five of these things at the same time. Because life is constantly changing. And so if this is your happiness formula, you will never get there because life constantly changes. And this formula, it's not real. It's fake. This is imitation happiness. It sort of reminds me of the other day. We went to the Royal Farms to get some gas. You know, we went to luxury, the Royal Farms. And in the window, they had this poster. And it said $3.99 for Alaskan snow crab leg meat. And it showed this cup of all the snow crab leg meat. And my wife, Stacy, loves crabs. And so she's in the passenger seat. And she's like, oh. And she's like, Joel, $3.99 for snow crab leg meat? I think the Lord is in this. Like, I want that right there. And I was like, baby, listen, I will go buy you that because that's cheaper than taking you to Burger King, all right? So, like, but I was like, if you think that's going to make you happy, but if you try that Alaska snow crab meat from Rofo for $3.99, you're not going to like it because that's fake. That is imitation crab meat, okay? That is, like, that is seafood spam. Not good. But you know, you see the picture, like, oh, like, I think that's going to make me happy. But and I went in this week, and I looked at the thing, and it said, premium imitation crab meat. It's seafood spam, man. You can go get it if you want. Maybe you like seafood spam. I don't know. But if Stacy got that and was expecting one thing, she wouldn't get it. And here's the point. Our culture is always like, hey, if you just date her, that'll make you happy. If you just have that job, if you just live in that house, if you have perfect health because you don't eat Royal Farms fried chicken, if everything in your life is perfect, then you will love life because that's happiness. No, no, no. That's fake. That's imitation happiness. And all of those things will change because it's based on happenings. Let me show you what John says in 1 John 2, 16 through 17. It says, for the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see on those posters, in the windows, okay, and pride in our achievements and possessions. Okay, does this sound like the happiness formula to anybody? Physical pleasure, everything we see, achievements and possessions. It's like the happiness formula. But listen, he says, these are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. So help me out, guys. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. All right, we're going to try that again, okay, because I believe in y'all. I'll stand over there. Maybe this is a sign, okay? But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. What pleases God, chasing holiness, will live forever. Living forever, what does that mean? Does that mean like we're with God in heaven? Now, what is heaven like? You ever wonder what heaven's like? I have a formula that I think will help us know what heaven is like. Let's put this formula up. Heaven is nice things plus perfect appearance plus thrilling experiences. I mean, you're with God. Plus the right relationships plus perfect circumstances. That's heaven. Is anybody down for that right there? Okay, forget Amazon Prime. Like, I want heaven today. Like, that would be amazing. And so, listen, when we live where we accept Jesus, when we accept Jesus' grace, we are blessed with heaven eventually. We are blessed with heaven eventually, and we are blessed with the fact that Jesus is with us on this earth when we go through life's happenings that are less than happy. Because that happens, right? And it's a blessing to know that Jesus is right there beside you when life happens, right? And so the word blessing is, I think, a better word than happy. Blessing in Greek is the word makarios. Everybody say makarios. Okay, here's what the word blessing in Greek means. It means more than happy or longer happiness. Longer happiness or more than happy. I mean, it's like happy 2.0. It's like not just a moment happy. It's longer happy. It's more happy. And so blessed doesn't mean more money. A lot of times you're like, oh, blessed. Oh, that means that's the hot rod. Blessed doesn't mean more money. It doesn't mean better health. It doesn't mean less people feeding seagulls, thrashers, french fries on the boardwalk. Blessed doesn't mean any of that. It means this. It means that our happiness is not based on a perfect pain-free life. It means that God is with us in our pain-filled life. Let me say that again. Blessed doesn't mean, Blessed doesn't mean that. It means your happiness isn't based on the perfect pain-free life. It means God is with us in our pain-filled life, which means no matter what's happening in our life, God is with us through that thing, and eventually we'll spend forever in heaven with Jesus. That's blessed. That's more than happy. And that means that you can have happiness no matter what is happening in your life, because God is with you, and later on you will be with him in heaven. And so here's the thing. If you're going through something that's hard right now, there's nothing that Amazon can deliver you that'll make you happy. There's no 7-day Tahiti vacation that's going to make you happy 7 years from now. There's no Tinder date with a girl who's hotter than a heat index of 110 that's going to make you happy forever in life. Why? Because those things bring temporary satisfaction. They don't bring lasting happiness like blessing does. Those are the things of this world, and you and I weren't created for the things of this world. I'll explain it like this. Let's imagine right after church, we all go to the Avenue in Rehoboth Beach. We're sitting in our beach chairs. It's only 110. I feel like it's 110 degrees up here on the stage right now. Whoo! But we're sitting on the beach in our beach chairs, all right? And just imagine this. We all go get our favorite food. I go to Louis and get a cheesesteak. Come on. What are you guys going to go eat? What are you going to go get on the boardwalk? Fries. That's good. Anybody going to go to Nicola's, get some Nicola's pizza? Oh, come on now. What about Grotto Pizza? Okay, a few of you. What about Gus and Gus? I am preaching now. Oh, some cheeseburgers from Gus and Gus, so good. All right, so we're sitting on the beach, and we're just eating our food, and we see a pod of dolphins out in the water. Now, if you're not from here, maybe you think those are sharks. And that's okay. That keeps us entertained. But let's say one of the dolphins breaks off from the pod and swims up to the beach as fast as it can right at us and does a full-on like Pete Rose slide on the sand right up to our beach chairs that we're all sitting there. Okay, so you picture this? Okay, somebody in the group just yelled, shark. Shark, there it is. All right, now, is that dolphin on the sand, is he happy?
No.
No, what's he doing? Right? You can't unsee that either. Anyway, now let's say we give it some things that the world says makes us happy to see if we can make the dolphin happy, okay? So let's give the dolphin some money, okay? So we're all going to like make it rain on this dolphin like it's a parking meter in Rehoboth Beach. We're going to give us a bunch of money. And so now it's got a pile of money that it's in, and it's going, okay, is the dolphin happy now? No. Okay, let's try something else. Let's throw a party for the dolphin. And let's invite the most beautiful girl dolphin to the party so maybe they'll meet. We're going to play some music for them. And maybe, you know, maybe like we'll play baby dolphin, do-do-do-do-do, baby dolphin. I don't know. Maybe it helps. I don't know. So we're playing music. It's a party for the dolphin. Is the dolphin happy now? Okay, no. So let's do, all right, I'm going to feed it my cheesesteak, my Louis cheesesteak. You know, shoot some ketchup at it, give it the cheesesteak. Is it happy now?
Yes.
No. Well, maybe a little bit. Got me on that one. All right, now let's say we teach the dolphin how to use Instagram. And we like teach it how to take its first selfie, and it takes a selfie to post on Instagram, and it posts it, you know, with a hashtag, like hashtag fishbod instead of dadbod. Anyway, work with me. And he posts this selfie on Instagram, and like it's the most liked selfie of all time. People are commenting like fire emoji, heart emoji. It's like amazing. It's on the news. Like, is this dolphin happy now?
Nope.
No. Why? Because the dolphin isn't created for the sand. The dolphin is created for the ocean. And here's the thing. If you're trying everything that life says it takes to make you happy and you're still unhappy, look, maybe you should lower your expectations of earth, because you weren't created for this. We're all a fish out of water here. And you are created by God for God. You're created by God to serve him and to chase his holiness. And when we do that, we are blessed with him in his presence now, and we are blessed with heaven later on. That's true happiness right there. And so no new person, no new job, no new salary, no new house, no new college degree is going to ultimately bring you lasting satisfaction. Why? Because all of us have a hole, a Jesus-sized hole, a Jesus-sized void inside of us, and only Jesus can fully satisfy. Only Jesus can give us lasting satisfaction, something that's more than happiness, which is blessing. And so what do, guys? We chase his holiness. We chase him. We praise him. Because God never said, my number one goal for you is happiness. Let me show you. I started out with a verse that made it almost sound like God said, my goal for you is happiness. But I only read part of the verse. I'm going to end with the rest of the verse. And we'll throw this on the screen. Psalm 97:12, the full verse says, may all who are godly be happy. Come on, we like that in isolation, baby. But we may all who are godly be happy. But here's the rest. In the Lord. And do what? Praise his holy name. If you want to know what creates lasting satisfaction, if you want to know what you are created for, you weren't created for the sand, okay? You were created to serve him and to praise his holy name. And that comes with chasing holiness. So here's my question for you as we leave, okay? Are you chasing happiness or are you chasing holiness? Are you chasing happiness or are you chasing holiness in your relationships, okay? With your wife, with your kids, with your friends, with your boo, are you chasing happiness or are you chasing holiness? Are you chasing happiness or are you chasing holiness at work? Are you chasing happiness or are you chasing holiness with your wallet? Are you chasing happiness or are you chasing holiness when you're in Dewey Beach on Friday night? Hello. Are you chasing happiness or are you chasing holiness when I'm sitting on my couch on Friday night at 10 o'clock because I have small kids so I can't leave the house? Am I chasing happiness or holiness in my house? Are you chasing happiness or holiness in your life? Because guys, happiness isn't found in something. It's found in someone, and his name is Jesus. That is who happiness is ultimately found in. And we weren't, God wasn't created to serve us. We exist to serve him. Let me pray for you guys. Jesus, I'm so thankful that we can look at something that is so culturally counter to what we're taught, so culturally counter to everything that we see, and honestly, God, something that's so different than how we feel and what we want to do. And so, God, I just pray that these words will strike us where we look at it and we're like, okay, I know what I feel like doing, and I know it seems right, it feels right, but God, is it really what you want for my life? Am I chasing happiness or am I chasing holiness? And so, God, I just pray that we'll ask that question, and however that ripples into our week, whether that's a question we ask for our relationships at home, or whether that's a question we ask for what we do in the workplace, or what we do as we walk out of this place, I don't know how we all answer that, but God, I just pray you'll help us to know that even if it makes us happy, that may not be the right thing to do. And so help us to chase you, chase what your will is, instead of chase what our will is. And God, that's a challenging thing, but God, we can do it with your help. And God, I just pray that we'll know that there's grace for us when we don't hit the mark, because we're not always going to hit the mark. And God, I'm so thankful for your grace and your love in those moments. But God, as we go into the future, I pray that our goal will be to chase you instead of chase our happiness. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.